Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we got ourselves a major move that could shake up some things in the world of football. We'll get into all of it here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can listen to us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, wherever you are making us a part of your morning. We appreciate you doing so. It is a Monday morning. It is a busy morning in the world of football. And we take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific. Now, many of our friends are just waking up and tuning in out in Southern California and Los Angeles on the Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports. And they wake up to the news that you've got yourselves a brand new football coach at USC. Brady Quinn, you sit on the desk with a couple of USC honks every single weekend. And here we go. Lincoln Riley is now the head coach of the USC Trojans. He leaves Oklahoma. A huge development and story. Bruce Feldman broke it yesterday. And just I think very surprising that USC was actually able to get Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma, and he now takes over for the Trojans.
You know, I don't think it's that surprising for this reason. USC to me, and I said this to Urban Meyer back when we were working together, and they had talked to him about trying to come in and take over that head coaching position. It has to be the easiest turnaround of any college football job. When you're talking about a blue blood, one of the programs that's been so successful for such a long period of time, in part because of the talent that's there in Southern California, you don't have to leave the state. If you just dominate Southern California, you're going to be right there in the national championship title contending. And that's one of the issues they've had is over the period of time where Clay Helton has been there, they've lost out on a lot of the top recruits, in particular at quarterback. When you look at a guy like Bryce Young, who very may well end up winning the Heisman Trophy this year, Southern California kid. Matt Corral at Ole Miss, Southern California kid. LeVar's talked about it at length. DJ Uiagalelei at Clemson, Southern California kid. Like, all these guys are leaving. When I was playing, it was like, no, all these guys wanted to come to USC. So this is going to immediately change the dynamics of recruiting in college football, which is the lifeblood of those teams that succeed and those that don't. And so they get a guy that we know he can recruit and develop quarterbacks. And so that's the first reason. The next reason is, I think especially after this season, USC, Southern Cal has realized how desperate they were to get this right. And Mike Bone, their athletic director, after what I've come to find out, they went after Matt Campbell. He turned it down, tried countering, didn't want it. Didn't feel like it was the right fit. And then they turned and pivoted once they knew that Lincoln Riley didn't want to go to LSU, but there were reservations about OU joining the SEC in 4 years or whatever it is, if not sooner, that OU is not willing to put together the type of resources that you need joining the SEC. Those staffs have a lot more analysts. They have a lot more folks within the football program who are able to help out. They devote more resources to the football program because they can. They have less sports in general. So if you look at the student-athlete sports that are offered, they have less sports than, you know, say a Pac-12 school, for example. But the difference is, you know, Oklahoma wasn't, you know, maybe as willing to put a bunch of funding into that so they could prepare for the competition that will be in the SEC when they go there. And I think that was frustrating to Lincoln. And now he looks at the Pac-12 and a top brand in Southern Cal as desperate. And they are willing to do whatever it took. So he's getting paid a boatload per year. And on top of that, they're going to ensure that he has every resource he needs to build this up and be successful. My only question to this hire is if you look at what he took over at Oklahoma, it was built by Bob Stoops. And even though he maintained it, he never really got it up past necessarily what Coach Stoops was able to do. He was never able to take that next step. You look at what Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer built at Ohio State. We look at like Ryan Day, who took that over. It was already
built. All inheritance. Yep.
All inherited.
I agree.
He's got to build this back up now, and he's never had to do that before. And so that's the only question I have with this hire is, will he be able to navigate it and figure it out? I would say this. The Pac-12 is so down in my mind. Like, there's no national contender in the Pac-12 South. They should easily win that division every year. There's really no national contender. Say what you want about Oregon. I don't even know if Mario Cristobal is going to stay. He might go to Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's got some personal stuff going on right now, and that's one of the reasons why he's down in Miami. But he's got roots there. And you tell me the easier path to get in the playoff. Miami, with that hotbed and talent, and going through the ACC, which Clemson's the only team you got to worry about there, or what could be now a rising, you know, Southern Cal, more parity. I mean, they couldn't get it done this year in a year where the Pac-12 was down, and they lost a couple of games. So I kind of look at it and say, it's an easy turnaround. He should be able to do it, but he's never had to do it before, LeVar.
Yeah, I like your last point because I'm a tad bit skeptical about it. And yeah, you mentioned there not being a national contender in the Pac, and I agree with that. But what they do have is recruiting. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at ASU, and obviously I have personal ties to that coaching staff. But when you think about the roots that are here in Southern California, where this hotbed of talent is, that's being dominated by Arizona State. It's being dominated by Oregon. You got to throw Washington into that. When I look at
SEC teams are picking top players as well too.
Absolutely. ACC, they're coming to get the linemen, they're coming to get the quarterbacks, they're coming to get the best running back in the state at modern day is going to Oklahoma. Which is funny because maybe he might flip now.
Yes, but, maybe not anymore.
All right, but here's the thing about it though. He's going to have to make sure he does one thing, and one thing in particular is have somebody on his staff that is deeply rooted. And because one thing I learned about Southern California and its football, it is a very, very small circle of people. It is a small circle of guys that are basically dictating everything that's going on with these guys and where they're going. And so he's going to have to make sure that he has somebody who can navigate the politics, so to speak. Some would call it street politics, of what it's going to take to be able to go into the pockets of places to be able to cultivate that talent. I know when we bring on Papa Dacus and we talk about the allure and what USC has to offer, I understand that. But since being here, I got to be honest with you. The competition of getting these top guys is not being dominated. It's not a given that, USC is going to get their fair share of guys. It's not a given. It's really not. And so to me, they're going to have to, as you mentioned, Brady, they're going to have to do something. Lincoln's going to have to do something that really may be difficult, which is create an environment or create a place where people really want to come back and go to it. Because the last time this team has really been good was what? When Reggie Bush and them were there. Yeah, when Carroll was there.
It's 15 years.
That's a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Well, here's the difference, too. It was a long-ass time where, look, Pete left for a reason. And it's been well documented what was going on there to help recruit, help give them an advantage. I think the difference now is, and I would just say this universally across all colleges, is there shouldn't be an unlevel playing field in regards to what you can recruit. And the reason why I say that is because name, image, and likeness, it's the wild, wild west right now. These schools can essentially, they can't facilitate these deals. It depends on the state, the state laws and all that. But for the most part, it's pretty wide open. If they need to get a kid money now, they can do so legally. And it's not difficult to do that. It didn't used to be like that. You know, Southern Cal was bending the rules in order to get those guys there, and then they build up this behemoth of an absolute factory, sending guys to the NFL and winning a national championship, winning football games. They lost that when they got in trouble. Pete knew it was coming. That's why he jumped ship.
Yeah.
And they've had to figure out how to do it the right way moving forward, and they never have. But what now they have to their advantage is now that door is wide open. And so not only do they have that in their back pocket because they could do so legally, but now they've got Southern California, a coach with name recognition, and he's got, you know, that kind of mantra that, look, he's the type of guy that can develop young quarterbacks and send them to the NFL. If you can get the top quarterback at every class, and oh, by the way, the top one that I think for what, I think his name Malachi Nelson, he's like the top recruit for either 2022 or 2023. He just decommitted last night from Oklahoma. I would suspect he's going to go to Southern Cal now moving forward.
That's and I think his statement was, you know, I'm going to reevaluate some things, but, you know, that's just reevaluate some
re-evaluate
things.
Reevaluate what?
Yeah.
Property. Here's going to be the interesting thing about this, though, is how many players from Oklahoma transfer to Southern Cal. Because there's this thought that with the transfer portal, Caleb Williams in particular, the quarterback, right? He could transfer and not be penalized at all. There's nothing that stops Caleb Williams from saying, I want to go with my coach. It now allows you to do that. You get one free pass. Your eligibility is not penalized. You don't need to have any sort of hardship that you have to apply to the NCAA. None of that exists anymore. And so you could see a mass exodus out of Norman to Southern California. The only thing that stands in that way is the amount of scholarships you have. And so I wonder if Southern Cal doesn't even work. I mean, they've got obviously a bunch of commitments and all that. It's a lot to juggle because they're going to be able to get the pick that they want from Oklahoma or anywhere else with Lincoln Riley going there now. And you've got these incoming freshmen. Like, one of the things we haven't talked about, and this is, you know, more of a national issue, but kind of flies under the radar, is how do you go about managing the amount of scholarships you have with the incoming freshmen from high school, but guys who are on other teams that want to come and play for you that can help you right now, that are more like veteran players, right? Almost the free agency of college football. It's fascinating, and it's going to be interesting to see what Caleb Williams decides to do, or any other Oklahoma Sooner that's there right now.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, there is some hurt feelings, some people very bothered by a decision that was made over the weekend. We will get into some of the garbage and the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy of it all. It's yours next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Ah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Look at this right here. Yeah. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, a little over 20 minutes from now, the most bizarre assault that you've ever heard. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call it just a very, very bizarre scene through and through. We'll have the details for you here later on in the hour here on Fox Sports Radio. How much money do you think Mariah Carey's made off this one song alone?
I don't know. I mean, probably a lot.
Millions.
It's one of the it's one of the better Christmas songs.
Yeah.
You know, that's out there. That's not your traditional Christmas song.
Yeah. It's a little upbeat. Got a little bit of a little spice to it. A little pizzazz.
Be careful watching that music video, too.
You're definitely careful.
Santa might not get out of that sleigh.
He might not.
Hard time, you know.
It's definitely not a lump of coal, I'll tell you
He could probably just use all that bag of gifts to cover it up.
Yeah, that's
excitement. Mrs. Claus would be pretty upset. Yeah.
For me, it'd be a Ziploc. All right, let's if we want to, Lee, if you could look that up, just how much money Mariah Carey's made off this one song alone, we'd appreciate it. We should have an answer
great.
For you sometime
and
an
then
hour
if
four.
There's any spousal issues between Mr. Claus and Mrs. Claus, that'd
be great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thank
you. We'll leave that alone. All right. So there's the big story in the world of football that came out yesterday. We just talked about it a little bit. Lincoln Riley is now going to be taking over as head coach for the USC Trojans. There was some reports a short time ago that defensive coordinator Alex Grinch, the wide receivers coach, the director of ops, the strength coach, all of them are at the airport in Oklahoma City and are leaving to go to LA, so I'm assuming he's going to be taking a lot of his staff. That would be my assumption, because most of the time those guys try and get their assistants paid, right? Like that's part of the negotiation. As far
correct.
As the, yeah,
correct, yeah. Sometimes you know head coaches when they're in these negotiations, they'll either set aside a pool of money or like, they might leave some money on the table so they can hire these guys. Because you have to think about this too: cost of living in Norman, Oklahoma, compared to Southern California, a little different. Yeah. You know, and it's not only cost of living; it's where you live, it's the schools they go to, it's just everything, right? So that's going to be a big difference, and that's one of the things that I think can help entice some of those coaches that you really value and bringing them with you.
And it's also you got to have some money put to the side so you can afford masks. You know, because it does get a little pricey. So if you want to get like some N95.
Yes, that and all your PPE equipment, correct.
Yeah, so,
yes.
So there's that. I still even can't even believe that, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on here. You know, the winds hit 30 miles an hour. Got to shut everybody down. Got to just how this whole thing is done. But I digress. There is some hypocrisy going on. People are critical of Lincoln Riley for the way that he left. They think that, you know, there's a report that he only met with the team for a couple of minutes and then stormed out and then walked away. And so people are like, oh, you know, it's just a gutless move. He was, you know, working on a deal with USC behind their back. And here we are. And it's like, kind of similar to the deal Oklahoma was working on with the SEC. Like kind of that one, right? Like where they were working on that deal, you know, behind some people's backs and the Big 12 got upset about it. So now Lincoln Riley decided, I see, maybe a better opportunity. I want to go take the job elsewhere. Now people are saying that, he's a little bit of a, I don't want to say liar, but there was a question that was asked of Lincoln Riley over the weekend about the LSU job. They had a little back and forth. Here was the former Oklahoma head coach on that position.
Lincoln, are you shocked that you've gotten this far without anybody asking you about all the rumors this week?
I'm going to
ask you about it, so I might as well. I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, it's every day.
Hold up, Gary. I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU.
I mean, listen, problem solved. Like, yeah. I think he's exonerated. I don't want to hear anybody ripping him for it. I mean, that's not his fault. He answered the question. And Lincoln Riley got ahead of the story and said he dismissed LSU.
This is the same thing as talking about, you know, the reaction to everything that Aaron Rodgers said in his interview earlier this year, asking about his if he was vaccinated. He didn't say he was vaccinated. He said he was immunized. Okay, what is that? Explain that to us, Aaron. Like, where's the follow-up?
Yes.
So you then follow up by asking him, so if you're not going to be the next head coach at LSU, are you not leaving OU? Are you not leaving Oklahoma? Like, why? Look, I never trained this. I didn't go to school for what I do for my job. I have a natural curiosity, though. And I would imagine that's a key attribute for any reporter, for anyone who's in the broadcasting journalism industry. And if you want to act like he was deceiving in some way or lied to you, you're wrong. He told you he's not going to be the head coach at LSU. He's not. He's not going to be the next head coach there. He didn't tell you he wasn't leaving OU, though. And I will say this, from what I know about the situation, it moved very fast. Literally over Saturday night into Sunday. Like, that's how
fast. That's it?
That's it. It wasn't like this was going on for a long period of time. Southern Cal had kind of targeted a number of guys. They thought they had one in particular. That broke down. And because of the agent for Lincoln Riley and some of the kind of common knowledge that was going on between LSU reaching out, a lot of what he was looking for was kind of already ironed out and already discussed. You know, if you're getting into the discussions of like, hey, these are the resources I need at the university if I'm going to stay here, and they're kind of pushing back and saying, yeah, we're not willing to do that. If you're going down that rabbit hole, you've gone far enough to know kind of what the number is going to be for the contract. So there's still more to be finalized. But for the most part, they had the structure of it. It just wasn't the right school for Lincoln. Southern Cal is. And that's where he kind of leads to us now. So I think the best point you brought up was this. How ironic is it that Oklahoma is upset that basically what they did to the Big 12 is what Lincoln Riley did to them?
Tough balls, man.
Yeah. How about them apples?
Yeah, sorry.
Chew on that.
Yeah, you wanted to you know, make some moves behind the back of the Big 12. Everybody got upset about it. How about Joe Castiglione bitching about the kickoff times? You know, being on Big Noon kickoff. Oh, I mean, you know, we don't like the start times, and they turn around and then they jump to the SEC. Sorry, man.
Well,
now you're out of
that.
A coach.
I mean, the hypocrisy in that is you're willing to accept the TV money, which this week. The noon game crushed every. It was the highest rated college football game they've had all year. 9.1 was the rating. That'll equate to about 15, 16 million people. That's the high. Ohio State, Michigan at noon was the biggest rated all year. The noon window will end up being the biggest rated all year when you average out all the weeks, everything else, head to head versus 3:30 primetime, all that. People don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And so, what do those higher ratings mean? It means higher advertising revenue. What does higher advertising revenue mean? It means more money for the network to pay for the rights, and these schools know that. So they can be frustrated all they want about it, but that's how this business works. It's all about money. If you're upset about the start times of games, go ahead and say, yeah, we're not willing to accept that amount of cash for you being able to start at noon. But it's been successful, so there's nothing they can really say about it. They only, you know, moan and complain, but they're hypocrites if that's the case. No different than right now with them going behind everyone's back and going to the SEC, and then complaining about Lincoln doing the same to them.
And now this does have an immediate impact on one Brady Quinn. Because,
for sure.
Because now all of a sudden, you know, you could be down a co-host. Because,
well,
you know,
this week, for example, I'll be honest, full transparency, I have no idea whether or not Coach Stoops will be with us this week because he is the interim head coach for the Sooners for their bowl game.
He was just at a desk in Ann Arbor in the cold next to Brady Quinn in hunting socks, Reggie Bush's jaw locking up because it was so frosty out, snow drizzling down behind him, just an incredible scene, and now he's going to be coaching Oklahoma in the bowl game.
Hey,
what the F, man?
I'll say this much. I have not talked to him. Let me preface everything I say right now by saying I have not talked to him about this or any discussions like this. I swear on my life, okay? If I was Coach Stoops and Oklahoma's in a pinch, because if you don't hire a name quick and a big name and all that, you lose out on a recruiting class. You're going to get a lot of young men who are decommitting. They're moving on. They end up going somewhere else. And the reason why I say that is it used to be, remember the first Wednesday after the Super Bowl? That used to be National Signing Day.
Yeah.
It's all moved up. It actually happens now here in the next week. The first week in December is when you get a lot of those early commits and a lot of those early enrollees for the spring semester. So because of that, they have to move fast in Norman, Oklahoma. And they need to provide some stability. So Coach Stoops provides them stability for the short term in the bowl game. But unless they make him maybe the head coach again and he accepts it and you say, hey, for the next 2 or 3 years, come back, be the head coach, we'll help you groom that next Lincoln Riley, that next guy like you did with Lincoln, help us do that. You know, you're not going to have that sort of stability unless you can make a hire really quick, which if you're Luke Fickell, for example, great season this year, past couple of years, amazing job at Cincinnati. He's an impossible run for a national championship. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
He's going to accept the job while he's got all this going on? It kind of seems tough to do. I mean, Matt Campbell's a name that's out there, but is he really going to leave Iowa State? I mean, he's going to have to play Iowa State for the next few years before OU goes to the SEC. And it seems like he loves what he's built there. So there's a lot of question marks about, like, who's out there? Who's that eligible candidate you're looking for? And what's OU willing to do? If I was Coach Stoops or if I was his agent, I'd say, hey, pay me $10 million a year for the next few years. I'll help you groom that next guy to come in, but I'll help kind of weather the storm here and get you set up to then go to the SEC. I know the SEC. I was a D coordinator with Steve Spurrier in the SEC. I would literally say if Mel Tucker is getting $9.5 million a year, I ain't making a penny less than him.
Nope.
And you're going to pay me 10 or more a year for the next few years, and I'll help you groom that next guy. I know it sounds like I'm campaigning for him and all that. I'm just saying this is a solution to OU's problem right now.
And also, look, if part of the – because I would imagine right now, whoever is, whether it's Bob Stoops, like somebody's got to be calling these recruits saying, hey, I know you're alarmed. I know you're worried. Trust me, we're on the right page. Because this, we could be seeing an exodus of recruits and guys who committed to Lincoln Riley and to go to Norman, Oklahoma, are like, well, you know, listen, the weather in L.A. is not bad. I mean, maybe I'll decide to go there. But if you're Stoops or any of these guys, before anybody else tries to poach these recruits, aren't you having a conversation with them? Like, somebody's got to talk to them and try and calm things down there in Norman.
Of course. Big time. And I think the other issue is, you know, in talking about what could be a mass exodus to USC, you know, once they start winning games, like, it's never going to be back what it was when Reggie or Matt were there. I've talked about that at length. And any USC fan who thinks it will be, unfortunately, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You got two professional sport football teams there. The Lakers are there back with LeBron. The Dodgers are good. The Kings, I think all that stuff has been ramped up since USC's decline. And so you're not going to get a fan base that just comes back out in droves yet. Not until they win a national championship and start to bring that along. But you know what there is? A bunch of boosters out there who've been sitting on money. And they're waiting to spend that money to a lot of those recruits and a lot of those players. So that's where I think that's a big pitch to a lot of kids in recruiting for Lincoln is they've been waiting for a reason to break out their checkbook and start paying these kids and doing NIL deals. That's all about to start to come up in a big way for a lot of those USC players and a lot of those recruits. So you could very well see that.
And a lot of that money was set aside so they could bail out any cast members who went to prison from Full House. So I think there's also that as well, too, from USC. Just want to point that out.
I love Dan Becky, man. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well, listen now.
That was like my childhood crush, man.
All right. Well, listen now.
Just saying. I'm glad they're lenient.
Just saying. I mean, if you're into gals who go to prison, I mean, that's right up your alley. That makes all the sense in the world. I don't know she went to prison. Like, I'm not making.
Well, Roberto's got some other thoughts.
Yeah, he does. He said the same thing to you, huh? Yeah. She's got to know what. All right. Coming up 12 minutes from now, the most bizarre assault details that you will probably ever hear on sports radio. We'll get into that for you here. About 12 minutes from now on FSR.
Can we just talk about one more quick thing?
Yeah,
in regards
please.
To the
OU. Let's do it.
Did you see the report that supposedly OU reached out to Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm just like, dude, come on. Really? Oh, because he only has 1 year left on his deal?
Right.
First off, it was a report by Schefter, and he must be getting a cut of some of this.
He's got to be.
Because he's getting his information from an agent, and I have no idea how, if the Arizona Cardinals were serious, if they're like, really? If their agent came to him, hey, you know, Cliff's only got a year left, and Oklahoma's knocking on the door, it's like, okay, you think he wants to go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, you think that's like an actual thing? Give me
break. Come on, Brady. I mean, you wouldn't you would rather work with Kyler Murray than Spencer Rattler. What the hell's wrong with you? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, this is assuming Caleb Williams isn't there.
Well, is there one NFL job that you would, or let me ask you this. I'll put
is there
this
a
way.
College job that you would take over an NFL job?
Is there and to be more specific, which NFL job would you rather have Oklahoma's job for? Like, is there any NFL team you'd look at and go, nah, I'd rather be in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I just asked that question. There's not, of the 32 teams, there is not one that you would say, I'd rather be a coach in college.
So are you the Cardinals? You just go, come on, man, we're not buying it. We'll get a deal done, but we're not going to play this
game. I'm laughing and hanging
up. It's just,
Cliff's agent calls and I'm the Bidwells and they call and make that comment to me, I am laughing and hanging up. And I'll say, if you want to have a conversation about Cliff's next deal, let me know. But here's the truth, is if a college coach are getting paid, and I think I reportedly heard Lincoln's going to make somewhere between 12 and 13 million a year.
Is he
if
really?
I mean, Mel Tucker in his first winning season as head coach is making 9.5.
Jesus.
But think about that. If you're an NFL head coach, aren't you scratching your head going, wait a second, that guy's getting paid what?
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe you should be paying me a little bit more too. So that may work to some degree as far as leverage. Hey, like what's OU willing to pay me? all right, they'll pay you $10 million a year. All right, well, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you better ante up more than that, especially considering the Cardinals look to be a playoff team. I'd say here in a few weeks we're going to find out more assuredly, but maybe they win the division. Maybe they can go on a run. We'll see. But I just think that whole report was so bogus, so dumb.
I mean, Schefter's had a kind of a weird year, huh? Kind of a little bizarre.
I mean, I don't know. It seems like there's something else going on under the table.
Has he got some gambling interests or something like that? Investor in some sports book or something like that? Is that what's going on?
That would be your research, not mine.
Well, listen, you hear some things and you just wonder, you know, certain investor and certain things. I mean, let's go ahead and set the record straight, by the way. Everybody now is trying to talk gambling, sports betting, and all this. Yeah. Hey, listen, you and I, we've been playing this game for years on Fox Sports Radio, and everybody called us degenerate flunkies. And look, now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Should have hopped in. You could be sitting next to us riding shotgun years
ago. It's gotten so bad that I made a bet with a neighbor this past week. So full disclosure, this past week, my neighbor across the street, his name's Josh. And
what's up,
he
Josh?
Says, hey, what do you think about Ohio State, Michigan? And I said, I think Ohio State, will probably end up winning, comfortably. I said, but, it could be tight. I said, it's probably be like a tied or maybe Ohio State will be up by 3.5. Well, he goes, okay, I'll take that bet. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I'll take that bet. He goes, Michigan's up at half and you have to stay on national television. Sorry, Josh, you have to apologize to me if they are. I said, all right, whatever. Well, later in the week, so I get to Ann Arbor, kind of see the weather conditions, looking at all things. I'm going, man, Michigan's going to keep this close. Like, they might even have a shot of winning it. And so even, like, in our predictions, I think I had Ohio State winning, but I had Michigan covering, which would have been my play. And I was like, hey, dude, I'm kind of changing my mind on all this. I'm freezing my tail off up here. He goes, no, we're not changing the bet. He goes, you made a bet. Don't be a Welsher. You have to pay up. And so at halftime, we're sitting there on the set, and I'm thinking in my head, I've got to pay my bet. I've got to pay my debts, man. Like, I've got to say it at some point. And we went so long in the first segment, which is tough. You know, we got Charles Woodson there, six guys on set, a lot of talking going on, that our last segment before we went back to the game was condensed. So we didn't have much time. Fortunately, there was like a moment of chaos where the Michigan band just started marching like right into our set, just playing loud. And so you will see if you watch back, I look at the camera and I just go, sorry, Josh. And I just kind of yell that out. And fortunately, he was watching and heard it. So the bet or the debt has been paid.
Well, look, man, that line started to – some people started to wonder if something was up because Ohio State was, what, like an 8.5-point favorite? Like, they were
It started at 7, went up to about 8, 8.5, and then it literally got hammered back down to, I want to say, 6.
And that's when people started to ask, okay, is this because they're seeing the weather? Is this going to impact Ohio State? And they started to wonder if maybe Michigan might be on to something. I do like how, though, that your neighbor gets a shout-out on the air, and I don't. That's great.
You don't ever make any bets with me. You just set the odds, and then you have LeVar and I bet. That's the only thing you do.
I've put in my time in this relationship. I deserve a shout-out.
You've only been
to
the Blue Jacket once, our charity golf outing. So.
Well, listen.
Very little time to put in.
All right. I got your Blue Jacket right here. All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, this is the most bizarre assault you will ever hear on sports radio. We'll have the details for you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We're going to be back on the air tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific. LeVar, back from TV. Good to have you. Little TV star LeVar. A little Fox Sports Arrington action on a Monday. How about that, huh?
You know, just all sorts of love. Knock it down a little bit.
Yeah, knock this down right over here, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock that down.
All right, it is time.
What is wrong with
you? We get
that?
Into a little something called this.
You moron. How could you not get to these stories? You moron. These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to executive producer Lee DeLapp to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show. Lee?
First, a little bit of housekeeping. We had asked, how much money would Mariah Carey, has she made off of All I Want for Christmas to this point? Recorded in 1994, it is reported that she's made over $60 million off of this track alone.
That song was recorded in 1994? Right. Is that old?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you not seen the music video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that old.
It's a very different Mariah Carey.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
What do you get, man?
Younger?
Yeah.
She was younger.
Yeah.
Guns up.
We were all different when we were younger. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Smooth.
All right.
Very smooth landing there.
I'm not going to look at you because it might throw off my landing.
$60 million she's made on that one song.
All right.
And so how's it work?
You said she made millions. She has.
Yeah, but so she just gets paid like what?
Every
one
year.
Lump sum every December? Is that how that works?
In December, she makes between $600,000 to $1 million off of radio royalties alone. And then you factor in TV deals, now Spotify.
Man.
She makes like $42,000 a day off of Spotify during December. It's crazy.
God,
that sound like
her,
you,
man.
Jonas.
Yeah.
42 G's a day?
Yeah.
Baller.
It's real out here, man. What else we got, Lee?
You guys, a crazy scene between the Edmonton Oilers and Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights won the game Sunday night 3-2, but in the stands, it was spotted, a video that's gone viral, of a fan taking off her prosthetic leg and beating a fan of the other side.
Oh, wow.
Going down.
I mean, I've got questions. Like,
go ahead.
Was she sitting down or, like, standing up when she did it? Like, I'm trying to picture. Like, I didn't see the video, so I don't know what it looks like. I would think it's hard to balance on one leg.
She might have an ankle,
leg.
Though. She might have an ankle. See, you got, was she missing a foot or was she missing a leg? Like, she might have had, like.
It's like the whole leg.
I hate to say it, but.
She pulls it off like it's no problem.
It's like it's a nub. You have a nub. So it's almost like you have a heel. Like, so it's like a peg. So you can still balance yourself. You know, just so you know. I happen to be to be an expert on prosthetic limbs. I've got whooped by one as a child.
Did you really?
Hell yeah.
Your dad beat you.
He got me once or twice. He put his foot up my ass at least once or twice.
Come on a second. Your dad beat you with his prosthetic limb?
Yeah. It's grown men business up in my house. Arringtons don't play around now.
He is our prosthetic limb insider, LeVar Arrington.
It had good balance. It had real good balance, Brady.
Oh, man.
Well, I don't doubt that. We're kind of curious how it all went down.
I mean, why wouldn't you use it, though? I mean, think about it.
Just don't get in trouble in the morning time.
I mean, some people use beer bottles. You know, why can't you use a prosthetic limb?
It makes all the sense in the world. It's safer. It's not going to break like a beer bottle would.
That's true. It is safer.
Sturdy. You know. Feels like a real leg hitting you. You know, real shoe. It is. It is a real shoe. You know?
Oh,
I wonder if
God.
She had a high heel on or something, you know. Now, that would have been different.
Yeah. That's imbalancing. What else we got?
you guys, a few weeks ago, Baker had to take on Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad. Now he's taking on Kareem Hunt's. Kareem Hunt's dad on Facebook yesterday after the loss saying, I'm stating facts on football, and what I'm seeing is he's limping, he's scared to throw the ball, and now they're coming for him.
Everybody's dad is coming after Baker Mayfield.
Everyone's daddy.
Come on, LeVar.
Everyone's daddy, man.
It's weird, man.
I mean,
I just got to be honest. That is the weirdest stuff I've ever heard of in my life, man. They need to stop that. They need to stop. Honest to gosh, that is not a good look at all.
Everyone's daddy. It's weird.
It's weird, man.
I'm gonna call him and thank him for not being that dad.
You know? Honest to God, me too.
Yeah.
Big Mike, I appreciate you, man. I love you, dude.
Yep, Chopper.
I'm the son of a man.
Thanks for not being a D-bag.
Yeah. I'm the son of a man. That's the son of a man. That's the son of a man. How about that?
Yeah, I won't be calling my dad.
Take that lightly.
So I just want to point that out. Just want to clarify that.
You won't be calling Boss Hogg either.
No, I won't.
No.
And now that I think about it, I won't be calling anybody.
I'll tell you who you'll be calling.
I'm not laughing.
I don't know why a phone bill's so late.
I'm going to go play with myself today.